Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, David Noble in the house on a Thursday. We've got some new music, man. Have you noticed Caden's been putting some cool new music together for
loving
us and everything?
Yeah, loving the bumper music, loving the weather. We got a beautiful day. It's going to be 75 and sunny here in Billings. We got inflation numbers just came out. Inflation numbers below expectations. Market was way up yesterday. Beautiful springtime in Montana.
It's morning in America.
It really is.
America is back. But boy, man, much to the chagrin of these left-wing never-Trumper media commentators, right? They were just cheering, hoping for, you know, a depression and everything. And it's like, man, it's only, what, the big panicking news on Monday, and here we are, it's Thursday, and it's morning in America already.
And the stock market is back to where it was before Liberation Day.
Is it really already back up to where it was? I know it rebounded strongly. Yeah,
it's still down. It's still down on the year, and I think it's still down since the election. But it's basically back to where it was when Trump first announced the tariffs. And then I saw something this morning about the EU also announcing like a big 90-day pause. So here we go. Let's get some deals done.
Yeah, you know, it's and you talk about the lower than expected inflation numbers this morning, and same thing happened last month, if I recall right as well.
Correct.
You've essentially got what amounts to pretty much no inflation right now. But again, what was the driver of inflation for the last 4 years? Massive federal government spending. DOGE comes in, starts peeling some of this stuff back. Trump makes some other maneuvers. Consumer confidence goes up. Small business confidence goes up. And yet the panicans can't even stop it. Interest rates are going to be coming down more soon. We've got inflation basically grinding to a halt. And really, at the end of the day, I'm not going to downplay the importance and the significance of the stock market and 401ks. But for the 80% of us, working class American folks, lower interest rates and lower inflation, that's the stuff that really matters right now.
Right. Well, and what are you really thinking about these tariffs? What are we going to do? You actually think we're going to actually make stuff in America again? Like, what are you thinking? Like, we're actually going to make stuff here?
Where are we going to get the wood from, David? We can't make wood in America. That's what Chris Matthews was saying if you missed the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I was listening to the 6 o'clock hour this morning. And you're going to put tariffs on lumber? What are we going to do? What are we going to do, make 2x4s? What are we going to do, make 2x4s?
What are we going to do, like, get loggers back to work? What are we going to do, reopen sawmills that the Democrats and the environmentalists have spent the last 4 decades shutting down? Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do, Chris Matthews.
And in fact, I saw Representative Ryan Zinke just posted recently thousands of likes on his post talking about opening up more logging opportunities there in northwestern Montana. Because guess what? In northwestern Montana and western Montana, we got lots of really, really good trees. And the wonderful thing about trees and wood is, guess what? It's a renewable resource. They grow back.
They grow back? You mean so we don't have to take DNA from 10,000 years ago to repiece this tree together?
Speaking of which, so we don't have to worry about endangered species anymore, right? Because we can bring them back now. So, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares about the spotted owl? Like, we can just bring it back later.
Finita la musica. No more endangered species act because, you can recreate anything, apparently.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stays sunny through the day. Today, we're looking at high temperatures in the upper 60s and lower 70s. For tonight, staying clear to partly cloudy. Temperatures will drop back off into the mid-40s across the region, and then we're looking at more sunshine and some mild weather for Friday. Highs around 70 in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It all started on Monday morning when Bloomberg, that is some guy identified as Walter Bloomberg, posted this. Hassett, Trump is considering a 90-day pause in tariffs for all countries except China. Well, the market shot up. But White House Economic Director Kevin Hassett never said that. He said on Fox, I think the president is going to decide what the president is going to decide. Then CNBC anchor Carl Quintanilla said, I think we can go with this headline. Apparently, Hassett's been saying that Trump will consider a 90-day pause in tariffs for all countries except China. That was picked up by Reuters. The wire service later admitted its mistake. Reuters has withdrawn the incorrect report and regrets its error. CNBC spokeswoman said, as we were chasing news in the market in real time, we heard unconfirmed information in a banner. Our reporters made a correction on air, but it shows you how volatile the market is to misinformation. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Where did that one come from? I was just talking about Caden putting these great new bumpers together, and we were just talking about it being morning in America, and here the big announcer guy says it's morning in Montana. You're dang right it is.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, very good, very good. Hey, let's see, where do we go next here, David? Because I want to go big picture, philosophical, American history, because you made such a great point last week when talking about tariffs and the Cold War and, you know, the United States basically trying to compete against the Soviets. And it was such a great point. I mean, that's really the 30,000-foot view picture, you know, American history. Well, let's just start there since we're going down that path. Because I was thinking about that more here this week as well. Because, okay, 60 to 70 countries have now come to President Trump and say, hey, we want to make a deal with you. These are countries that have tariffs against us, but they don't want to have tariffs against them. So now they're ready to start making a deal. But China is the one that the fight still remains. And I was thinking about it because, you know, you made a great point. Well, the reason why, you know, we cut all these deals with all these other countries and they kind of got the better end of the deal, you know, going back to the, you know, the post-World War II environment. Well, post-World War II, all of these other countries didn't have an industrial base. We did. And so they bought things from us. Well, they now have an industrial base, so they don't need that type of help, that type of support, right? And the Cold War's over. But I was thinking about it now. The other, you know, right now, from a counter PRC perspective, you know, the People's Republic of China perspective, I think that on the flip side, what Trump is doing right now is brilliant, because the Chinese right now are being exposed worldwide for the bad actors they are and for the bad crap they make and manufacture. And so Trump is basically telling the entire world, hey, if you want their junk, you know, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for it in more ways than one, right? But also, you think about it. What is funding Chinese expansion? What is funding their Belt and Road Initiative? What is funding them targeting mock-ups of American aircraft carriers in the desert? We are. We, the American consumer, are the ones funding that. And so now instead, Trump's saying, no, we're going to bring that back to America. So and then what's the establishment swamp response to Chinese expansion, military expansion and more? Well, we need to just go buy more friends and buy more allies and give a bunch of money to all these other countries. No, we don't have the money for that. But B, that's not working either. We look like a bunch of chumps. So
the Democrat strategy, I guess, is to just let China continue to grow and to not confront them. I saw a great post that I wish I thought of this, but somebody said, okay, first of all, what happened recently with Trump saying 90-day pause on everybody else, but China's tariffs are going to 125%, and those are that kind of exposed everything, that this is about China. You know, this isn't about, you know, you see all the, there's a bunch of great reasons to put tariffs on. Number one, it creates government revenue, which you can then use to offset tax cuts for the American people. And I'd rather have tariffs instead of an income tax. That's one reason. You know, two, It protects our industries. And, you know, number three, there's national security reasons for it when it comes to things like the steel industry or the pharmaceutical and medicine industry. But the reality is that this is, I think this is similar to our Cold War tactics towards the Soviet Union, what we're doing to China right now. Now, remember, China, their economy is already on the ropes. Evergrande was their biggest real estate developer. That collapsed. They've got a totally out of whack, out of balance economy that's driven exclusively by manufacturing. And, you know, what China does to boost their economy is they don't do stimulus to their consumers like we do here in America. And, hey, give consumers money, they'll spend it, that'll boost the economy. No, what they do is they boost their manufacturing, they produce a whole bunch more goods, and then they dump those goods on the world for cut rate prices, and then they put everybody else out of business, and it's subsidized by the communists, and they use it for a tactic. And so putting these tariffs on China exposes this whole plan. This is a foreign policy deal that has to do with China specifically. And then the fact that now Donald Trump has now got all of those other countries. Here's the other thing. Remember when Trump first did this, the main thing the Democrats said is that they're against this idea because this is going to push all the other countries to China. Remember, the Democrats said if we put tariffs on all these other countries, all of those other countries are then going to cozy up to China. And the exact opposite has happened. And so now Donald Trump can say, and this is the other thing the Trump administration is doing. They're not just saying, okay, tariffs on China and a pause on everybody else, and we're going to now negotiate with everybody else. What he's also saying, everybody else, you guys better put tariffs on China too. And if Europe doesn't put tariffs on China, and if our allies in Asia don't put tariffs on China, and if Africa doesn't put tariffs on China, and if South America doesn't put tariffs on China, then we're going to put tariffs on you. And so this whole thing is about China, which is critically the number one issue, right? I mean, that's no question. And so this is all working out as planned. And I think people ought to remember sort of these bigger picture foreign policy issues like the Cold War and the Soviet Union. And right now what's going on with China and South Korea. Well, this is going to cause the cost of an iPhone might go up. Look, folks, we got bigger worldwide global foreign policy, international relations issues going on. You can, you know, put the cost of the iPhone to the side for a second.
Well, and that's why that, you know, when you brought that up last week, that bigger picture was such an important point to make, and it was important to get people to take the long view and to sit back and look at what's really going on here, because, you know, some of our Cold War friends, even, you know, some people that used to be described as conservatives, they just don't get it. They're still stuck fighting yesterday's war instead of fighting the war that we're in right now. And, you know, it's like Liz Cheney. Oh, the USAID helped us win the Cold War. Yeah, maybe back then, but right now they're undermining America. They're undermining America's interests with the vast majority of what they're wasting our money on.
Right. And guess what? During the Cold War, it made sense for the U.S. to fund NATO mostly. Now it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, they can pick up the slack. That's right.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The stock market is not the economy, certainly. Its euphoria and gloom are dramatic and well-publicized. The changes in the overall economy can't be boiled down to a simple number and take weeks or more to show up in data. For all the talk of trillions of wealth being wiped out in recent days, there have been equally eye-popping changes on the upside during the market's bull run before that. In reality, of course, those gyrations are just numbers on a page, with concrete meaning only if the assets they represent are liquidated. Lower or even dramatically lower stock prices don't put people out of work, and the connection between portfolio values and current spending is nowhere near as strong as some make it out to be. But the market is a sentiment index on the immediate future, and its precipitous fall warns us of just how much those sentiments have changed, for the worse. It is people and institutions voting with dollars on where they think the return on those assets is greatest, and right now that is anywhere but in shares of U.S. companies. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. Clearing your throat is pretty common, but if you do it too much, it could cause problems. Laryngologist Dr. Inna Hussain recently talked with Fox News Digital.
So when you're actually throat clearing, the mechanism of action that's happening is that you are slamming your vocal folds together, and that generates the sound of the clear and the kind of movement of things like mucus. So the problem with that is those same vocal cords are used to help you create sound. So if you keep slamming them, you could injure the surface area of the vocal cords, causing things like lesions to form, nodules. You know, you can bruise your vocal cords, cause hemorrhages, and essentially that would affect your voice.
She says there are a few alternatives.
Feel a tickle? I'm going to try to swallow. I'm going to try to hum. I'm going to try to blow out air. I'm going to try to take a sip of water instead of doing that throat clear. And over time, that helps the larynx kind of reset itself.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Do you need to pay tax on your unemployment benefits? I'm Ginny Cosoldo with your Fox Business Tax Tip, coming up.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author. Join me every Monday on my podcast as I speak with silent but noteworthy heroes. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and leave a rating and a review.
Unemployed and receiving benefits?
Ironically and unfortunately, unemployment benefits are subject to income tax.
CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says unemployment benefits are considered taxable income at both the state and federal level.
We would recommend considering to have some tax withheld.
Zellin says you can do that when you sign up for benefits, and you'll need to report the unemployment payments you received on your tax return. Ginny Cosilda, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump paused most tariffs for 90 days, excluding China, whose tariffs were raised to 125%. The move appeared aimed at refocusing the trade war solely on China. Agriculture groups are closely watching the tariff situation. Cam Quarles is CEO of the National Potato Council.
You know, when the president's initial announcement came out, we went through it line by line. We did not have the level of freak out that you're going to find with some of the more politically minded folks who show up on the 24-hour news cycle. That ill serves growers, and we're not going to do something like that. By the same token, you know, we want to make it very clear that this industry thrives on vibrant international markets, and we want to keep them vibrant. We want to reduce the friction in accessing valuable customers around the world, because it can have an immediate and dramatic effect, both positively and negatively for growers. And we want to avoid the negative at all costs.
With 20% of all U.S. potatoes exported, the National Potato Council warns new tariffs could disrupt trade and raise input costs, but are hopeful the trade and tariff situations can be resolved soon. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so if you guys missed it in the 6 o'clock hour, I'm going to go back to this Chris Matthews soundbite. Chris Matthews, MSNBC guy. You know the guy who gets that, what is it, a tingle up his leg when he sees people like Barack Obama, but now he is wetting his pants. There's something else dripping down his leg right now because he's one of the panicans, the pretend panicans over tariffs. But anyway, yeah, he says, well, where are we going to get our wood from? We can't build more wood in America. Yeah, we can. We are literally surrounded. We have some of our listeners right now are in an ocean of timber, an ocean of wood, and whatever the heck you want to call it. We are in a sea of it. In fact, David Noble, I told you, I just got a great message from Eigen Graf, who's a great home builder in the Gallatin Valley, and he's been the president of the Montana, you know, Home Building Industry Association in the Southwest Montana Building Industry Association. But he said we could quadruple our domestic lumber production and still have a sustainable timber industry. And not only would we be lumber independent, we could still be an exporter and do it all sustainably.
And our forests would be healthier, too.
They'd be healthier, too, at the same time, yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with that. You got a woke update of the week. Let's sneak in your woke update of the week before we start taking calls or going in whatever other random direction.
This, I love this woke update, especially because of Aaron and I's conversations about bikes. And frankly, I'm looking forward to getting on my pedal bike here this afternoon at 75 degrees and sunny on the Billings West End. But I will stay on the bike path, so I won't be in the middle of the street.
Are you going to have your like lime green, you know,
I won't.
Tank top on and your biker shorts on?
No.
And you won't be riding in the middle of traffic. I love mountain bikes. Like I've done some great mountain biking over the years, but these guys, there's a bike path right there, and there they are riding in the middle of traffic. It's like, really, man? Like you probably were kicking and screaming and yelling to get that bike path built, and now you don't even use it. You're in the middle of traffic. What are you doing?
Right. Okay, so this story is from Spokane News, KREM. Here's how to apply for Washington State's e-bike rebate program. The WeBike program offers $4 million in taxpayer dollars in instant rebates to help Washington State residents purchase e-bikes. Washington State began accepting applications this Wednesday, just yesterday, for the e-bike rebate program. And the WeBike program is this wonderful thing where you can actually get taxpayer dollars to pay for your e-bike. And so, Aaron, I don't know if with how the legislature's been going, this actually might be an idea that the Montana legislature would pass this session with the Nasty Nine teaming up with the Democrats. Can we please get some rebates for – because here's the deal. I go into the Spoke shop on the West End, by the way, great little bike shop on the West End.
It's a cool shop, yeah.
$8,000 for an e-bike, for one of the nice e-bikes there. And so can I get some taxpayer dollars to help me pay for my e-bike?
So, you know, later today from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., I'm going to be posted up. I'm going to be hanging out at the RV and boat show at the Metro in Billings. So come on down and come see us. Come say hi. Come see our friends from Brett's RV and Marine. But they've got e-bikes out at Brett's RV as well.
Awesome.
So if you're in Butte, you could probably go into the Butte Brett's and see it there as well. But they've got some really cool e-bikes, and I would love to have an e-bike for hunting because, you know, I got a bad a bad back, so I'll do the hike and I'll love to take the shot, but man, hauling that animal out of there, holy cow. But if you can put a little cart on the back of that e-bike, so yeah, what if they said, oh, we'll let you keep more of your money with a tax rebate and then you can go buy an e-bike? I'm going right to the RV and boat show because then I want that e-bike hanging off the back of my camper. My dad will take his e-bike and he'll ride up to the top of Logan Pass in Glacier National Park with it. And like, man, that just sounds awesome.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to get an e-bike because I like to bike for the exercise. But actually what studies show is that you actually get more exercise with an e-bike than with a regular pedal bike because they're so much fun to use
them more,
and you just use them more. And so, you know, again, we need to get, I mean, the legislature's increasing spending 11% on the bi-enemy, according to, I think, Senator Regeard mentioned that on the show the other day, at least the way HB2 is right now.
Yeah.
Can we get some money to help us get some e-bikes? Because Aaron could use an e-bike. I could use an e-bike. We got the state legislature spending money. Let's get an e-bike rebate program. Washington State's doing it.
If they just get the income tax relief across the finish line,
then you could do whatever you want
across the board. Income tax relief, then you can consider that a rebate, and you can take the savings down there and get it. But
I saw that they're actually. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, what's funny about this whole Washington, you know, we're going to give a rebate for people to go buy e-bikes. That's less green than just riding a normal bike. I mean, I've got to think there's copper, there's all sorts of stuff in there, right?
And it was like the taxpayer subsidies for electric vehicles. So guess who's buying electric vehicles and e-bikes? Rich people are, because they're like $8,000 for one of them. Oh, you get here's a $1,000 taxpayer rebate. Well, look, not very many people have the $7,000 to get the $8,000 bike with the $1,000 taxpayer rebate.
Yeah, but that's who, you know.
Same with Teslas.
But, you know, AOC, Bernie Sanders, lifestyles of the rich and socialist coming to Missouri. In the house here every Thursday. And of course, we take your phone calls as well. I'm going to have open phones for the full 8 o'clock hour of the show. But if you want to jump in on the conversation here while the great David Noble is in the house, please do. David, lifestyles of – I meant to ask Caden, you know, our great young producer here, Caden, Caden, are you familiar of the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Robin Leach, do you know who Robin Leach is? David, you remember Robin Leach and Lifestyles? You don't even remember that. You're too young. Well, your parents were really good, and you didn't get to watch a lot of TV, though.
So. I grew up with no TV, and then we got a TV. We got a TV when I was in 7th or 8th grade, and then when we got the TV, it stayed in the closet until the Olympics came on. We watched the Olympics.
Wow. Did you have a Sony Walkman ever, or were you too young for that?
I had a disc. I had the disc.
You had the disc, man. Okay, all right. Yep, so you're not too far behind me then. Okay, all right. Okay, but I was getting okay. So you don't know who Robin Leach? Well, he had the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and they'd go to all the celebrities' houses in these mansions and show off, and so it was kind of fun to watch back in the 80s.
Sounds right? Like MTV Cribs.
It was kind of like MTV Cribs. Before the Cribs. Caden says he's heard of it but never seen it. Okay, all right, but he's heard of it. Okay. So, because we had some song references, and Caden's like, yeah, I don't know that song. He's 24, you know, but his mom knew it, so we're good.
What's interesting about that, and obviously you're talking about Bernie Sanders and AOC coming to Missoula, and they're socialists, but they're millionaires, right? And so, what's so funny is, so when you first posted about that story, I was thinking to myself, you know, I wonder if Montana Democrats would like John Tester or Bernie and AOC more. And I was sort of thinking to myself, I bet Montana Democrats would like AOC and Bernie more than John Tester, because I kind of view AOC and Bernie as more of the true believer types and less phony than Tester. But then I thought about this Lifestyles of the Rich and the Socialist comment, and I'm thinking, you know what? They are phony. AOC and Bernie, they are phony. Now, I don't think they're as phony as Tester, but if we were going to have like a phoniness contest, I mean, they're right behind him, but I do think they're slightly less phony than Tester, who's one of the biggest phonies of all time.
Yeah. Oh, big time. But apparently some of the Bernie bros don't like AOC because she said some things to where, you know, they don't like her for whatever she said. I forget what it was, but Caden may even, I think Caden knows this song though. David, you liked the Third Eye Blind reference last week. This is the reference this week. This is the soundtrack for the AOC Bernie Sanders rally in Missoula. The Lifestyles of the Rich and Socialist. All right, have you heard that one? Or are you familiar with that one?
I love Good Charlotte. I saw Good Charlotte live at the Warp Tour in Bozeman.
Whoa.
In like 2003 or 2004, something like that.
Throwing it back.
The Warp Tour at the Gallatin County Fairgrounds, the good old days right there.
Nice. I love going to stuff at the fairgrounds. That's yep. A good time in Gallatin County.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David, I had a great message come in. This one came in. Sometimes I'll get messages from good tipsters out there and folks, and sometimes I don't know if they want to be quoted or if they don't want to be quoted. Because you know, it's I just want to get good information, right? And I always want to give credit where credit's due. But if people just want to pass along good information, we like to have the good information. But anyway, just got a great message. I mentioned we had a great message from Eigen Graf in Bozeman. Larry Mayer, the great photographer for the Billings Gazette, you know, he's also a pilot, right? That's how he takes so many of these great aerial photos, because he's a pilot. So he can just get in the air. If a fire breaks out, boom, he can fly over and get some photos of it. But he sent me a message. You knew we were talking about Chris Matthews. Where are we going to get the wood from? We can't go, you know, create more wood in America. Larry says this, as I fly across Montana and see miles of beetle-killed and fire-prone forest, it seems crazy to eliminate logging. Harvest it or watch it burn. Well said.
Well said. Absolutely. I always wonder, is that beetle-kill stuff, that's basically non-usable?
No, you can use it. The loggers will go in and you can harvest it and they can put it to use. That's what's so crazy about
it. That's insane.
Yeah, and yet in the environment, so you can have
like it's not rotted out inside.
Well, the beetle kill. Well, let me think about the beetle kill.
Depending on how old it, how long ago it was beetle killed.
So my knee jerk reaction there, I was thinking of fire damaged trees. So you could have fire damaged trees that are still harvestable, right? Like we had that even on the Custer Forest in southeast Montana, and. And, you know, they went in. I'd have to see Christine in Frenchtown, I know, is listening this morning as well here, because she was talking about how, you know, some logging is also good for wildlife as well. But maybe she could tell us about the beetle-killed trees, how much of that is harvestable and usable. But either way, we got to get it out of there, right? But the fire-burned trees, oh, yeah, they can take the trees that have been damaged by fire and harvest it. And then clean that out of there, because otherwise, if it's just sit to rot and waste there, it creates more fuel for more fires down the road. And that's what happened on the Custer Forest. A logging company wanted to come in, clean it out, and harvest the damaged trees. The environmentalists filed a lawsuit. Liberal judge blocks the harvesting from taking place, and then it burned up again the next summer, you know.
So, you know my family's from Conrad, Montana.
I didn't know that.
You've been to Conrad, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. I've done this show from the John Deere dealer in Conrad.
Awesome. Love Conrad.
From Frontline.
So my dad grew up in Conrad. Of course, my ancestors homesteaded up near there during the Sweetgrass Hills in the 1800s. But my dad, when he was 18, 19, 20 years old, he got a job logging. He did a logging job here in Montana. I don't know if it's a summer thing or a year contract or what it was, but it kind of reminded me of the roofer story that we were talking about earlier. It's like, I remember back in Montana when young Montana guys could go get a logging job, could go get a roofer job. You know, wouldn't that be great if we go back to a situation where instead of our young men in this society, you know, getting addicted to video games and marijuana and pornography, let's get them out there logging. Let's get them up on roofs. If I had a son that was 16, 17, 18 years old, he wouldn't be playing video games and watching pornography and smoking weed. I'd be trying to get him a roofer job or a logging job, because that's how you build character. And that's one of the reasons why we've got so many problems in our society, is because those types of jobs that were critical to somebody like my father becoming a real man. You spend a year logging and you view life a little bit differently.
Mike Mansfield, former Senator Mike Mansfield from Montana, how old was he when he went?
He was 14 and he lied. He lied about his age.
Went to war at 14 years old. But we can't climb on a roof and do roofing jobs? I mean, there's some jobs I know, like some construction jobs, they would love to hire kids. But now the red tape and the rules are so protectionist and so cautious that unless they're 18, good luck getting insurance, right? And so that prevents some of this too. But then as you talked about, you know, then you got illegal aliens coming in and taking these jobs. No, one of the coolest things, we had a great opportunity for our oldest, who's a senior now, last summer. He got to do an apprenticeship in construction.
Awesome.
Which is really cool.
Fantastic.
And, you know, even though you mostly are doing the cleanup work and things like that, it gets you there, it gets you around it, you get to see some things. And so we need more of that type of stuff.
And like what the Billings Career Center is doing with some of the vocational technology stuff. And I talk about Alan Dershowitz quite a bit. I listen to Alan Dershowitz podcast regularly, Harvard law professor. He was one of the greatest constitutional lawyers in the entire country. And he does a free podcast on. So if you want to, and he says, I'm going to do a show. It's going to be a 30-minute show. This is going to be the equivalent of what I would do for a seminar for my Harvard law students. So you can go get free Harvard law seminars on these Alan Dershowitz podcasts. But what he talks about is, if you go to school, a school should really be trying to teach you stuff that you can't learn online. And the whole schooling setup we have now, where a teacher is standing in front of a classroom, is really kind of anachronistic. And I think we need more of stuff that you can't learn online in terms of the, you know, actual job experience, internships, the Billings Career Center, go and learn how to fix engines or do medical stuff. Like, that stuff you can't necessarily learn online because you have to be doing it to learn it. That's maybe where our education ought to be focusing in the future, because as Alan Dershowitz says, why are you going to go and pay a bunch of money to go have a teacher stand in the front and then tell you something you can learn online?
Yeah. A lot of callers on the phone lines now. Let's see. David was talking about being at the Warp Tour back in the day in Bozeman. AW in Bozeman, were you there as well?
Yes, you know, brought back a lot of memories. The Warped Tour has since not come back to Bozeman, but I was on the tour with my band, Liars Incorporated, Liars Inc., and we had a great time, and that's how I wound up in Bozeman. Is I like, it's the old cliche, like, yeah, I wound up in Bozeman because I fell off the tour bus in Bozeman and never left.
That is fantastic. Were you on one of the side stages, or did you get on the main stage?
No, I was on one of the side stages. We were, you know, up-and-coming band. You know, we weren't very popular. I think my mom bought all the albums that we sold.
That is awesome. I love it. What good memories. The Warp Tour at the fairgrounds. And I remember it was so dusty and hot, and everybody was covered in dust and sweat. But you're still crowd surfing and mosh pitting. What a great time.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for bringing that up. I forget sometimes my history.
Amen. Great to hear from you, A.W. By the way, David, one of these days when we break out of the studio and do the show out on the town in Bozeman, you should come tag along. A.W., he's got like the coolest eyeglasses you'll ever see. I always know when A.W. is there because I'm like, oh, there's a guy with really cool glasses. That's A.W. in Bozeman. Great to hear from you. One of these days I want to bring my camper out for that Headwaters Country Jam.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be fun to just camp out for like 2-3
days. I'd love to go to that, yeah.
Yeah. Right on John in Bozeman as well. Right on John. What's going on?
Morning, boys. Morning, David, Babyface.
Yeah, he's shaved.
Yeah, I just don't want to picture him in Speedos riding a bike.
Amen to that one. It would not be morning in America.
John Jackson would like that picture.
Yeah, he would.
In 1987, I was working snowmaking up in the Kiska up in Canada there just before the Olympic Games, and I was able to personally meet and hang out with both Robin Leach and Captain Kirk and their really hot girlfriends and talk with them for quite a while. And even Brooke Shields, I got some really amazing photos of all of those. But I like going out and cutting wood and everything like this. And the forestries and the BLMs and everything, they need to get their acts together because they were charging way too much for a person to go out and collect deadfall and standing dead. And you would have to tell them per cord, and you had to cut it to a certain length, and before kissing it on out, and just so much. And they
so maybe they need to encourage that more. Yeah, so maybe that's a good topic to bring up. Yeah, you'd think that our government would encourage people to go out and help clean up some of our forests instead of charge you more to do so, right? Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's a great point, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's sneak in another caller here before we hit the break. We got Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. Rock, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you know I'm a carpenter, so I know a little bit about wood, but if you've ever seen Blue Pine, it was pretty popular years ago, but it's got all these blue kind of streaks through it. It's a pine. Well, that's beetle kill. That's beetle kill wood.
Hmm. Interesting.
So you're saying you can still use that for construction or other purposes?
Yeah, because the pine, depending on when the pine beetle killed the tree, it can be used. It can be harvested and put to use, right?
Yeah, it's got to be used pretty quick after it's been beetle killed, but it's more for a finished type of TNG, tongue and groove type of wood, for interior and whatnot. But it can be used, but I doubt that they harvest it that much just because it would be kind of like select cutting, which costs more money.
It'd be really expensive to pick and choose the best ones of the beetle kill trees, yeah. But either way, we got to remove them. Stop the threat.
Get ready for Netflix's gripping new medical drama, Pulse. Set in a cutting-edge Miami trauma center, third-year resident Dr. Danny Sims is unexpectedly thrust into a promotion when beloved chief resident Dr. Xander Phillips gets suspended. Then, with the emotional and physical stakes at their highest, a storm will push the hospital and its residents to their limits. Witness how life can change in a heartbeat when you're operating under pressure. Watch Pulse, only on Netflix.
Fox News commentary.
The Biden tell-all books are rolling out, and guess what? Turns out he wasn't as mentally fit as they tried to make us believe. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world,
Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Biden tell-all books are rolling out, and there's a startling common theme. His team, his closest advisors, and his inner circle members were well aware of his mental decline. Some anecdotes even detail the former president and leader of the free world needed fluorescent tape to guide his movements. A forthcoming book also suggests his senior aide, Ron Klain, was concerned President Biden may have thought he was president of NATO rather than the United States. Other accounts of his decline detail his inability to communicate even to small groups without the help of a teleprompter. The fact that Joe was a mental mess isn't shocking, but the extent of his decline is really quite scary. Who was running the country? We may never know. So while the Democrats and their pals in the media are now lamenting on President Trump's inability to lead, just remember many of these same folks told you and I repeatedly that Joe was fit as a fiddle. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The sky stays sunny through the day. Today we're looking at high temperatures in the upper 60s and lower 70s. For tonight, staying clear to partly cloudy. Temperatures will drop back off into the mid-40s across the region. And then we're looking at more sunshine and some mild weather for Friday. Highs around 70 in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And you leave Shelby, Montana out of this one. Why do you have to go trash Shelby, Montana? I get it. He's mad at his electric vehicle. He's mad at his EV because he couldn't get a full charge to get him all the way to Glacier National Park. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen this video, it's kind of funny. A driver complains about the EV hell while trying to drive to Glacier National Park in Montana all the way from you.
Custom fit Acclaim windows and ensemble doors. Only from Renewal by Anderson. Learn more at rbamontana.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me check some of the messages here on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see. A listener in Joliet, look at the great blow-up of 1910. Right now, we could be looking at a fire bigger than that if we do not do something. Proper forest management will save money in the long run. Speaking of fires, our producer, Caden, did a great write-up for our Montana Talks website. Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy just got a significant firefighting bill through the United States Senate. This is a bipartisan legislation, and that story is on our Montana Talks website. I don't know. I'm not seeing the headline in front of me
That's super impressive, though, for a first-term, first-year senator like Tim Sheehy to get something. I mean, you have senators that don't get stuff through the Senate for years and years and years. For Tim Sheehy to already have something passed through the Senate, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's huge. But, you know, this whole beetle kill story, this was probably 12 years ago, and the reason why I know it was that long ago is because I was on my old show, and Max Baucus was still the Democrat senator from Montana, but Max Baucus was saying, oh, we got all these beetle-killed trees in Montana. It's because of climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake. And you know Roy Brown, former state senator, great guy. His daughter, Katie, was working at the Heritage Foundation at the time. So she did a whole historical write-up about pine beetle-killed trees and totally called out Max Baucus because at the turn of the 1900s, there was a massive pine beetle outbreak, and I think it was near Libby. And so was that climate change then, right, too? Because we didn't have Colstrip yet, the Colstrip that we have today. But you know what they did, David? They cut a circle around the pine beetle-killed trees, and they cut down the trees that had the pine beetles, and pine beetle problem solved. So apparently it didn't need a climatey-changey solution to it.
Yeah, it's the same thing about the medieval warm period. When was the last time you heard a Democrat recognize the fact that the earth was warmer during the medieval warm period during medieval times? And when do they ever mention the fact that actually the hottest temperatures ever recorded in the United States actually happened in the 1930s during the Dust Bowl? And then the dire wolf went extinct because that was a hilarious comment you made earlier. But it's like
those ranchers, that's why. By the way, you were just talking about the medieval warm period, and then who would think that today in 2025 that there would be people in America saying off with his head for challenging the Hopi climatey changey alarmist crap?
Who said off with his head?
Well, some on the left. I mean, man,
that reminds me of, and they do believe that, and it reminds me of like them saying that you should not be able to get medical treatment if you didn't get the COVID vaccine. They'll say the same thing about global warming. If you don't believe in man-made global warming, you're an enemy of the people type of thing. And it's like, man, remember that polling that came out during the COVID pandemic where it was like over 50% of Democrats polled said that if you didn't get the COVID vaccine, you should be denied medical treatment?
And they actually did deny it. We had I had a veteran call into this show. They wouldn't let him go get a surgery because he didn't get the COVID shot. Our own freaking VA. Yeah.
So if that was the
Biden regime.
Yeah.
For you.
So I wouldn't put cutting somebody's head off for denying global warming past that type of a person at all.
Well, you saw the story the other day. Like there is a massive swath of the left in America right now that truly believes that violence is okay. That political violence is okay. I mean, the United Healthcare CEO, Elon Musk.
Well, they'll come out and they'll say, hey, we like to punch Nazis, and it's okay to punch a Nazi. Well, okay, that may be fine, like, in and of itself. But when you think that everybody who disagrees with you is a Nazi, you're basically saying that it's okay to go and punch and physically assault anybody that disagrees with you.
Especially as they wear their little fascist masks everywhere, right? But everybody else is a Nazi? Give me a break. Yeah.
Right.
David, great to see you as always. There was another topic I wanted to bring up with you because you had a great tweet talking about the state budget. But
too late.
I'll share it later. Right. I'll share your tweet. You can call in if you want.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The stock market is not the economy, certainly. Its euphoria and gloom are dramatic and well-publicized. The changes in the overall economy can't be boiled down to a simple number and take weeks or more to show up in data. For all the talk of trillions of wealth being wiped out in recent days, there have been equally eye-popping changes on the upside during the market's bull run before that. In reality, of course, those gyrations are just numbers on a page, with concrete meaning only if the assets they represent are liquidated. Lower or even dramatically lower stock prices don't put people out of work, and the connection between portfolio values and current spending is nowhere near as strong as some make it out to be. But the market is a sentiment index on the immediate future, and its precipitous fall warns us of just how much those sentiments have changed, for the worse. It is people and institutions voting with dollars on where they think the return on those assets is greatest, and right now that is anywhere but in shares of U.S. companies. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.